Grab someone's hand next to you. We're going to pray. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for tonight. Thank you for your hand upon us. Thank you for your hand upon me, Lord Jesus, that I would be able to deliver your word as you would have me deliver it, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for all that you've done in our lives. I thank you for your hand upon us. I thank you, Lord Jesus. We are so grateful. We are so grateful. You are the one that we love and that we adore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So while you have your eyes closed, I know you normally do this at the end of a service, but I'm going to do it right now. I feel like the Lord's prompted me to do this, that if you're in a situation where you feel like, I think I know everybody here, but just with our eyes closed, if you feel like you're in a place, though, that you maybe need to rededicate your life to Jesus. I think I'm looking around and I see everybody here, and as far as I know, I believe you're born again, but maybe you just don't feel like you're where you should be with Jesus. So without anybody looking around or anything, and before I get started in what I feel the Lord has on my heart, just slip your hand up there. I know we have our hands. Everyone, actually, let go of everyone's hand for a second here so that at least if anyone raises their hand, then it's not obvious to them. So, because this is between you and God, right? I'm just going to look around and I'm going to see who it is just because I will be in agreement with you, okay? But nobody else. And that's private. But if you feel like there's something in your life that you need to or that you want to be closer with God and maybe rededicate your life to Him, just slip your hand up. I'll look around here for a second. All right? All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for everybody here, Lord. You love everyone here. I mean, you love everyone. Of course, you are love. But I'm just saying your love for us, Lord. And people have set aside time tonight to just focus on you, to hear and to learn from you. And Lord, I just thank you for this time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, can you hear me okay? I think I'm going to turn it off a little bit. Did you? Oh, the main mic. Oh, that's probably what I was picking up. Yeah, thanks, James. Yeah. Check, check. Okay, we're looking good here. Sorry about that. I think that's what it was, James. Can you hear me okay? I'll try to talk loud. Okay, I got the mic on for recording purposes, so for pastor can listen to this later. But if you can hear me all right, I'll try to talk loud. I'll try not to talk too fast. I do tend to do that sometimes. I get excited. I do that even when I'm giving presentations at work. Sometimes I got to remind myself to slow down, because, and I'll tell you, a lot of times I'm giving presentations to people and folks that English is not their first language. So they have to translate in their head. So I try to speak slowly so that they can translate in their head. But sometimes you get excited, you get passionate about what you're doing or what you're talking about, and you get going. And I'll tell you a funny story. I was given this training one time in China. And so it was just me in this room, and there was probably six of them in there that I was training. And I'm teaching them, you know, and I'm going through the stuff, and I kept using the word smear. Smear. And I kept watching, and I'm like, finally I stopped, and I go, do you guys know what smear means? And they're like, no. But nobody wanted to raise their hand and say anything. No one wanted to, like, stop. Hey, we don't know what that word means. And because it was a coding that we were doing, and I was talking about how that if this coding, if you do it when you run this certain test on it, it'll smear and it'll ruin your results. And so, but I kept using the word smear. So I had to stop, and I draw on the board. I says, this is what I mean. And then they're like, oh, you know, right. So, anyways, I say all that because sometimes I get excited and I get talking really fast. So, who brought their Bible tonight? All right, that's pretty good. I feel like I'm talking to the youth a little bit here. That's what I say to the youth. Who brought their Bible? And you know what they do? This is what they do. They go, we got it right here on our app, which is good. Actually, I encourage them. Hey, you know what? I'm just glad to read the Bible. So, whether it's a physical paper or whether it's on your app, let's go for it. And actually, the app is awesome, right? Because you can do different translations. And I'm actually going to use use the app here because I'm going to flip between a couple different translations. But let's open your Bibles to Matthew 14 and verse 22. Are you there yet? How about now? All right, immediately. So this is after Jesus had fed the 5,000 and he sent the disciples across over on the boat, right? You remember this? And he said, immediately Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side. I'm in New King James Version, just FYI. Doesn't matter. While he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent... And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, and it was getting tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch, I had to look this up. They said that's about like 3 to 5 a.m. in the morning. Okay? So I'm thinking, because this ties in a little bit here with what I'm going to talk about, but I'm thinking about the disciples. The disciples are the ministry of helps for Jesus. Would you agree with that? Okay. Jesus sent them on ahead. He needed to stay back and pray. Right? That's what it said. He went by himself to pray. He needed to get alone time with God. That's a great... You know what? I mean, there is so much in this set of scriptures. I mean, just think about that. Jesus took time to himself, set himself by himself to go pray. I don't know. That's a good example there. But anyways, the ministry of helps went off in the boat. Right? And they're out there at 3 in the morning or somewhere. I mean, it's early in the morning. I don't know what y'all are doing at 3 in the morning, but I'm not out in the boat usually. Ben might be. That might even be early for Ben's standards. But all right, so they're out there. They're in the sea. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." I laugh at this all the time because I'm like, okay, we read this story because we've heard this 1,000 times, right? We know Jesus walks on the water, right? People got jokes about walking on the water, right? Remind me sometime, I'm not going to do it tonight, but I'll tell you about my my joke about golfing, right, and walking on water, okay? It's a joke. It's an alpha joke. Well, it could be an alpha joke, actually. But anyways, think about from the disciples' perspective, okay? They just did this big old crusade. They saw the miracle of feeding the 5,000, right? Jesus says, hey, you know, I don't know what he said to him. I don't know if he told him I'm going to go pray or if he just said, just go ahead. And then he just went and prayed. But whatever, they're out there working. They're getting to the other side, getting ready for the next meeting perhaps. And they see Jesus walking on the water. What would you do? I mean, up to that point, if we saw it, maybe, I don't know, we might still be freaked out. But if we saw it, we might at least have a little bit of knowledge that this is even possible, right? Okay, my background, I have a minor in physics. I was actually a physics major until I switched and I became a chemistry major with a physics minor. The physics of walking on water is supernatural, let me just tell you, okay? So, these guys, they're like, it's a ghost, right? And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, I don't know how far Jesus was away from the boat, but it was far enough where Peter had to get out of the boat, and he had to walk. So he had to take, I don't know what's considered a walk. To me, this is a step, okay? This is a walk, okay? So he's at least... I don't know, 10 feet away. He's probably farther. I have no idea. All right. So speaking of walking, I'm going to walk around a little bit. And I'll try not to trip into the music stand. So he said, "Come." And Peter had come down out of the boat, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So he sees Jesus out there. He's walking. Right? He's walking on the water. Think about everybody else in the boat. They see Jesus. He's a ghost. What do they think of Peter? Peter was just in the boat with him. And now he's walking on the water. I don't know. I think of these things. I think of these things in the Bible because to make it real, like, what would we do? I mean, they're men and women like us, right? They were, okay, Jesus is Jesus. Now remember, Jesus is all man, all God. But he was living on earth as a man. So you know, to see this, and to him, to them, they know him as a prophet. And, you know, at some point they do realize he's the Son of God. But still, he might be, to them, at this point, they're looking at him as their leader, as their preacher, you know, as their pastor, perhaps. And he's walking on the water. Peter jumps out. He's walking on the water, too. But when he saw the wind and the waves, remember, it was contrary. The wind was contrary. He was afraid. And he began to sink, and he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." So there's two things that I get that really excites me about this. One, let's go back to physics. Why did he not immediately, like, go underwater? Right? Did you ever jump in the water? I've jumped in the water many a times. I never stay on the surface and then, like, slowly sink in. Do you? No, I'm under. So I'm always wondering why. And I don't know. I actually don't have an answer for you, but I'm just thinking about this. I'm just kind of like, why did he not immediately? And then the second thing I love about this is that he cried out to Jesus. He's like, "Lord, help." And that's a great lesson right there. Like, he got into trouble. He started to sink. He wasn't all the way sunk. He didn't drown. But he cried out. And he cried out to Jesus for help. I'm going to come back to that later, but that's great. And immediately, here's awesome too. That's not the great part. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you have little faith, why do you have a doubt?" Now, I've heard this preached many times, and everyone's always like, "Oh, Peter had doubt." But he said, "You have little faith." What did Jesus say before about a little faith? What can we do with a little faith? Maybe the size of a mustard seed. Come on, that's it. Move a mountain. So I don't know that necessarily he was rebuking Peter. Maybe he was teaching him about, hey, look what was possible that you could do when you kept your eyes on me. But then when you didn't, right, then you started to doubt. And then you know. So he's like, "Oh, you have little faith, but you had some faith. It wasn't zero." And maybe that's the reason why he didn't just go under. And so, no, you're good. Do what you got to do. Ministry helps. And when he got into, when they got into the boat, so I always wonder again, how far away was they from the boat? You know, were they from the boat? Sorry, my grammar. Were they from the boat? You know, that they came back into the boat and then they got in, right? I don't know. Did Jesus grabbed him? He said that. Did he pull him up? And then did they walk together? Did they hold his hand and walk him back? Or I don't know. It doesn't say. It doesn't matter. But so, what am I talking about? Anybody got a guess on my title? Maintaining your focus in the last days. I'll tell you what, I have such an urgency now, and I don't know if you feel it as well. We are in the last of the last days. And really my message here, and I don't know if I'm going to get through everything that I wrote down. I'll try. I'll give her the old try here. But maintaining your focus in the last days. We are in the last days, and there is a lot of hurting people out there. And that's really what I want to talk about today, is that us getting out, I heard someone preach this before, I'm going to say it, but we got to get out there, get off of our blessed assurance and get out there, right? You ever heard any preacher say that before? I'm not cussing. But I'm saying, we got, you know, church is great. Yes, it is. Come to church. We need to come to church. We need to be involved in church. I would like to touch a little bit on helps a little bit more if I have time. But yeah, we do. We need to. But church is where we come to get faith, right? How do we get faith? By hearing the word of God, right? Hearing it preached, right? And how do they preach? They don't have a preacher, right? And how do they get a preacher if he's not sent? Right? But we get faith. We get built back up. So we need to come to church. Kind of, you know, worship. We need to get in worship. What does worship do for you? Was worship awesome tonight? It's right? Yeah. Did we make a few mistakes here and there? I did. I don't know if you notice it or not. I notice it. James looks at me once in a while when I'm, you know, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. I know, right? Yep. James and I, James is like, do you remember the one service he threw the stick at? Well, he didn't really throw it at me, but he lost the grip. It landed like right next to me. Anyhow. But yeah, we need to be in church. We need to be a church. We need to be with other Christians, right? What does the Bible say? Iron sharpens iron, right? So we need to be together. And there's something about the corporate anointing too, that when we come together, there's anointing on you, there's anointing on you, you. All right, I got to hit everybody. You. Got everybody, right? But when we come together and we're in one accord and worshiping God, right, there's an anointing that comes on. And what does the anointing do? Yep, breaks the yokes of bondage, right, on our lives. It breaks things off of people, things that you're trying to get broken. You may be struggling with something, and maybe all you need to do is to come to church and get in the anointing with other believers that are believing with you. So, we need to put action to our works. Now, we've just did this whole Bible study. Pastor was pretty great going through Galatians, right? And we're talking about we're saved by grace. Yes, we are. Absolutely, 100%. We didn't earn it. We cannot work for it, right? There's nothing we can do to work our way into heaven or to buy our way for salvation, right? Jesus gave to us freely. However, we got to read the whole Bible, because the Bible also says faith without works is dead, right? And how does faith operate? Faith operates through love, right? Is it James? I think it's James that says, right, if I do my work, but I don't have love, or no, that's in Corinthians, right? If I don't have the work with it, right, what does it matter? You know, if Lewis is in trouble and I'm like, oh, Lewis, I love you, man, and then I walk away, right? It doesn't do any good, right? I should help him out. I should, whatever I could do, pray for him, I don't know, be there for whatever. So we got to put works to us. When you're in church, take some notes. Take some notes. You know, we talk about meditating on the Word of God. Take some notes. I take notes all the time. I probably take notes. I learned this a long time ago. I've learned this probably in college, but I learned it certainly on my job, is that I don't trust my brain. I don't trust my brain. I write everything down all the time. So my biggest problem is figuring out where I wrote down what I wrote down and where I put it. And organizing it, that's probably my biggest problem. But I wrote it down. And I know I wrote it down, and I can tell you what piece of paper I wrote it down on. But let's put that in the church. Take notes. Don't rely on your brain that, you know what? I've done this 100 times where it's like, oh yeah, I'll remember that. Yeah, I won't write that down. I'll remember that. 5 minutes later, I've already forgot what it was. I'm like, man, there was 3 things I was just thinking about. So write it down and then go back and review your notes from church. This is how we meditate on the Word of God. This is how we digest the Word of God that we're getting, the teaching that we're getting. You know, your mind is enmity against God. Enmity, right? That just means that it opposes. It's not an enemy. It's kind of like enemy. It sounds a little bit similar. But it means it opposes God, right? But our mind can be trained. We can wash our mind, right, with the Word of God, and it can be trained. Because our mind will always go to 2 things, always naturally, unless we train it. It goes to what it fears and what it wants, right? That's why during the pandemic, that's why the internet church became so popular, right? Now, I get it. We had to do what we had to do for a short amount of time, but as soon as we could get back into church, we did. And I know we did, you know, but there's a lot of churches that didn't. There's a lot of churches that are still what I call the underwear churches, right? Yeah. They get to sit at home in their underwear, eating a donut, watching their favorite preacher, drinking a cup of coffee, and they get their good feel message, and then they're done, they shut it off, or they flip on some movie or something, right? Right, and get all the worldliness back onto them that they've, right? But people get comfortable, but our body, our flesh likes that. Our flesh likes the, right? I want to be comfortable. I don't want to, you know, if I'm wearing a suit and tie, I don't want to wear a suit and tie. I want to be in my sweatpants, eating a bowl of Cheetos. Right? So it's like oil for your car, right? Or your four-wheeler, your motorcycle, whatever. You know, what's going to happen if you don't keep oil in there and keep fresh oil in your car? It's just a matter of time, and that thing's going to seize up. So these are the things we need to do to keep ourselves well-oiled. Yes. We need to pray. We need to come to church. Read your Bible. Stay in the Word, right? Get around other believers. And I want to touch on that a little bit right there too. You know, watch who your friends are. I shared this with the youth. And Luke was my helper the other night. It was a couple weeks ago. And so I did this. I'm not going to do the demonstration because I was looking for a chair here that I could do the demonstration, but I'm nervous. Somebody would get hurt, probably me. But what I did with Luke is I said, watch out who your friends are. So I'm teaching the youth, and I said, watch out who your friends are. Who you allow into your inner circle, right? You have different realms of life around you. There's some people that are out here, you know, and that's okay. And we are ministering to people. We are, you know, I'm not saying we don't reject everybody, but there's the people that are closest to you that you allow to speak in your life. April's my wife. She has a very, very close realm. She's the closest realm to me. And next is probably my children, right? But my children aren't even as close as my wife is, right? So we have different realms, and that who you allow to speak in your life. Because, so back to the youth, and this applies to all of us. I don't care how old we are, right? There's always friends that you have. If you want to, and I learned this too, especially in sports. If I want to get better at sports, what do you do? Huh? Exactly. You play with better people. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or you hang around better people. So if you want to get better in your Christian walk, you got to hang around with better people and people that bring you up rather than people bring you down. Back to my demonstration. What I did with Luke was I had Luke up on the bleachers. He was probably about up this high. And I said, all right, you and I are close friends now. And so he grabbed my hand and I grabbed his like this. I said, okay, now you're the Christian. I'm a bad influence on you. I says, bring me up to your level. Bring me up. He couldn't do it. Okay, now I outweigh him probably by 50 pounds. And if you believe that, I got some property I want to sell you. No. Right? He couldn't do it. Of course he couldn't do it. That's obvious. Now, we switched roles. I said, all right, I'm the good Christian now. I'm up here. You're the bad influence. Okay, now remember, I got Luke by X amount of pounds. Right? Actually, I told all of them how much I weigh, so I don't really care. But you know what? Luke, okay, he struggled a little bit, but he was able to get me off balance and pull me down. He was. And that's, you know what I mean? And I'm, okay, I'm an adult. I'm heavier and I'm stronger than him. He still pulled me down. And so I think the kids, they kind of get that analogy. But that works with all of us, right? It doesn't matter how old you are. We're still dealing with people all the time. Yeah. And honestly, that is what is Jesus's heart, right? Is people. He wants to reach people. And we're his body. So if we're close to Jesus, we should want to help people as well. And one of the things I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the word stewardship. Because there's different types of stewardship. Let me just read you the definition first off. Stewardship is the job of supervising or taking care of something, such as an organization or a property. And there's different kinds of stewardship. One of them is on your job. You could be a supervisor, right? That would be a form of a stewardship, where, right, it's not your company, right? But you're managing it for somebody else. And then you have people that report to you. You are a steward over the things you hear and say, right? If I say something to Lee, I could say something positive to him. I could say something negative to him. But what I say to him, I'm the steward over those words that I say to you. Likewise, Lee could talk to me. What if he comes and gossips to me? Right? Lee's not going to do that. He's a good guy. But if he does, now what happens? What do I do with that? He just puked all over me. What am I going to do about that? Do I spread it? Maybe I throw some of that puke around to everybody else. I spread that gossip. I'm a steward over that, right? Or maybe I rebuke him and say, hey, we really shouldn't be talking like that. You know, we got to step up our game. You know, try to say it nicely, right? Something that we're, you know, let's be Christians. Thanks for being my example, Lee. Lee's a good guy. He's not like it. We're stewards over our family. Right? mothers, fathers, even children are stewards over their area of their family, right? How they react to things, how they train up their children, how the children respond. You're a steward over your own life. We were given, right, like the parable of the talents. Everyone has a talent. Everyone has a call on their life. And sometimes you have multiple calls, multiple things on your life. But you're a steward over that. Remember the guy that had the one talent? What did he do over his stewardship? He didn't do anything. He went and buried it. And what did Jesus do to him, right? He said, get away from me, right? And he cast him out. So we're a steward over this. I think there's a lot of, I call them Sunday Christians, that just come in for a good, you know, I talk about the internet Christians. It's kind of the same thing, except these are ones that are actually coming to church. But they just come to church, get a good message, I feel good, I got my fire insurance, right? I'm not going to hell. But we're not going out and we're not reaching people. We're not being that influence to people, right? Or worst case even, maybe you're going back and you're just living like the world, right? And I'm not rebuking anybody. I want to exhort you and encourage you, right? And I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to anybody. But I think we all can do better at this. You know, I go back to, I think the time is very short. And it's almost time to stop playing these kind of games with people. And what I mean by with people is that when you feel like you need to say something to somebody, say it. Do it. Just go for it, you know. Don't hold back. Let me, I want to read Joshua 1:9. And let me flip over to that. Because I love the way this starts out with. Is this helping anybody? I'm going to need some help here. I'm going to need some help. I only got a few more minutes to preach here, but I'm going to need help. I'm going to need some amens. I got to make me feel good. Say it loud enough so it gets on the recording. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to edit this section out right here so that Pastor doesn't know that I said all this. But all he's going to hear is all these amens in the background, right? You know I'm teasing, right? I hope you guys know me and know my heart. I mean, I love you. I love this church. I love, you know, I love Jesus. But like I said, I think we're in such a place, there is an urgency that we got to get going. The time is short. And we can't lose our focus worrying about petty things. You know, I'll touch on that and kind of just touching that back on the help side. We can get used to working in the church and working in helps and doing our job and showing up for our duty, and then we start complaining about someone else that's working with us, or you know, something like that. Or someone walks in, you know, and they had a bad night, or they're cranky in the morning, and they say something a little bit snippy, right? And then it's on, right? Right, it's on, exactly. But we lose sight. There you go. Thanks. I got one. Hey, we may not have a lot of numbers here tonight, but let's have some fun, all right? Yeah, seriously. Everything we do in the ministry of helps, we should have souls attached to it in our mind. Everything we do, from picking up just some trash you see on the carpet. Okay, we don't have our own building yet, so I know some things are a little bit strange yet. But we have the whole setup crew that comes up there that we set up every morning. We get things set up. We should have souls attached to every chair that we're putting up. Why do we set the chairs up the way we do? Well, because we want people to have an experience from Jesus and have the anointing. And I don't want anything to hinder them from getting that anointing. Because what does the anointing do? It breaks the yokes of bondage. And I want people set free. So even these minor little things that we might think is minor, why do we tape some cords down? Because I don't want someone to come up there that's getting prayed for trip over a cord. Or pull our speaker down and break our speaker and then we got to pay $1,000. No, but I don't want it. I want it to be as invisible to people so that they can help, you know? They can be helped. So you have to think of that. When you go back into the children's church, right? When you're working with the children and you're back there, you are allowing, you're taking these children. Now, we're teaching the children. Yes, absolutely. We're teaching them. But what also we're doing is we're allowing the parents or grandparents or whoever brought those children to sit in the Word and what? Get faith? Yeah? Or get fixed? Any answer is good. There's no wrong answer. In this question, there are wrong answers in some questions. But not this one. So, the children, so when you're back there working with the children, you're teaching the children, yeah, you're planting seeds in their life and you're helping to make an impact on their life, but you're also helping the parents too. So everything that is attached, we should see a soul's attached to it. I never did get to Joshua 1:9, did I? If I keep going like this, we're going to be here all night. You ever heard the term, until the cows come home? Yo, no, I got till the fourth watch, babe. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. No, did I read that wrong? Be weak and be discouraged. No, he didn't say that. He said, be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid nor be dismayed. When you step out and try to do something for God or try to speak to someone, what's the first thing that, at least this happens to me, maybe it's just me. I get a little bit kind of maybe not courageous, maybe not fearful, but maybe like not, should I do this? I'll tell you a story. This is a few years back. This is actually after we already moved to Texas, but we had church service at 11 o'clock on Sunday. So I had gotten up early. I don't know why I got up early, but it was like 7:30 in the morning, and I was going to just finish mowing the grass, and then I'd come back and we'd get ready and we'd go to church. Well, I started mowing the grass and I ran out of gas. So I threw the gas tank in my truck and drove down to the gas station. And as I'm driving down, I looked out my window and I saw this older lady. She was sitting in like a walker and she was just kind of looking over the bayou. She was just sitting there. And this is like 7:30, 7:45 in the morning. It seemed odd to me and I had the thought, you should stop and go pray for her. And you want to know what I did? I was like, nah. Nah. Right? And then I was like, what would I even say? Right? And so I kept driving and I kept thinking about this. And then I got to the gas station. It wasn't that far. And I'm putting the gas in the tank and I'm like, well, okay. I had this thought. It's, you know, this thought could have came from me to go pray for her. Because, I mean, okay, we can train our brain, right? You might be a kind person or, you know, that thought could come from me. It could come from the devil. I was like, probably not. Okay, there's only one other, you know, option on the table. It came from God. And I'm like, it probably wasn't me either. Honestly, right? Why would I randomly think of that? I was thinking about mowing my grass and getting petro, as they call it in El Mexico, for my El Lano Moro. Sorry, I was in Mexico 3 weeks ago. And yeah, anyways. I don't need any more tacos for a while. Anyways, I said, you know what, Lord? I repented and I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm going to go back. I'm going to pray for her. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. But do you remember the scripture, right? Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it's God who gave the increase. So it doesn't matter what I say. I just have to obey. And I actually didn't mean for that to rhyme like that, but maybe we should go. No, all right, I'll stop. I do this at home all the time. They say something that rhymes, and then I just keep going on with the rhyming. So I went back, I pulled up there, and I said, actually on the way there, I said, Lord, please let her still be there, because I knew I missed it. And then, and I said, if she was gone, I was like, you know, I don't know. I would have been very, she was still there though, thankfully. So I got out of the truck, and I'm walking up to her. And so she kind of looks at me kind of like, you know, it's because it's weird. It's a weird situation. There's nobody around. She was staying at one of those, like those RV parks, like where all the contractors stay at. And she was sitting off by herself, kind of up front in one of those like walkers. And she was just like looking at the river, you know, the bayou. And I'm like, so I walk up to her and I'm like, ma'am, I don't know. I says, this doesn't happen to me very often, but I'm like, I feel like the Lord wanted me to stop here and pray for you. Is there anything I can pray with you about? She started bawling. I'm not kidding you, like bawling. I started bawling. And she's bawling and she's like, oh my gosh, this has never happened to me. And I was like, it doesn't happen to me that often either. I was like, what can I pray with you about? And she's like, I just got a diagnosis that I have cancer. And she says, and also my son-in-law or something has cancer. I says, well, you know what? I don't have any power in me. I says, but I know Jesus. And I says, I will pray for you and pray for your son-in-law as well. And so I prayed for her. And that was it. I don't know. There was no like visible miracle that I saw. But it doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't matter because all I had to do was obey, right? That's all I need to do. God, the Lord will give the increase. So it doesn't matter what I say. But that takes courage. And what he says here, be strong and of good courage, right? Do not be afraid or dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. So I got a few more things and I'm going to wrap up here. Let me give you a couple of scriptures though. And I don't think I'll read all of these right now. But like Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And actually, I like it in the New Living Translation because it says, don't worry, right? I think the other translations say, don't be anxious and stuff. But I like when it says, don't worry. There's a lot of worry, right? We worry about everything. And especially with the news and the fake news and the way it is nowadays, right? They just try to breed fear in us, right? And why? I mean, okay, they may not know why they're doing it, but we know that there is a real devil out there, that he hates us and he hates Christians. And so he will use the news to breed fear, right? Because when you're in fear, you're not in hope or faith. You're not in faith. And when you have no hope, it's very easy for fear to slip right in there. And then you're out of faith, right? So don't worry. Philippians 4:7. Terry Mize said this. I love this, so I wrote it down. It's in his book, What Does God Think About Me? Or something like that. The title. But he says, faith is simply acting like God told you the truth. That's deep, isn't it? Yep. And the other thing, and I don't know who I got this from, so if you write this one down and you find out who it came from, that would be great. But faith does not make things easy. It makes things possible. Okay? Just because we're a Christian and we're born again doesn't mean things will be easy for us. In fact, sometimes it's hard, right? However, what we have, and this is what I really felt for people during the pandemic, because as hard as it was for me, I always have Jesus. Yeah. He's the answer, and I could always go to him for peace and comfort. Mm-hmm. But I felt for worldly people, I'm like, who do you turn to? I talk with guys at work, you know, and I work with some smart people. And the fear on them and the irrational fear, I'm like, you're my peer scientist, right? We do science together. Why are you not looking at the data? Why are you in fear? Just look at the numbers. But fear will grip you and it makes you irrational. Logic goes out the window when you're in fear. I mean, it does. So speaking of fear, 2 Timothy 1, 7 and through 10. And actually, I'd love to read that whole verse, but I won't. But basically, right, that's the one that God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So then that means if God didn't give it to us, where did it come from? And then Philippians 1, 6. He that begun a good work will perform it until the end. Okay? He will perform it. It's just like back Joshua 1:9, right? I will be with you always, right? And if he begins the work, he will see it until the end. And then let me read John 4:35. And I'm going to wrap up with that. Let me see. I have this in, I think I want it in the New Living Translation. So let me get there. Okay, John 4:35. And he says, "Do you not say, there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white with harvest." This is where we're at right now. This is the end times. Okay, we are in the last of the last. If I had a door, and let me show, if I had a door that was open, right, and this is time, right? And so when Jesus ascended into heaven, right, the door was maybe like this, right, and even then the disciples said the time is short, right, and that was 2,000 years ago, so we are like the door is closing, we are like, I don't know. If I had an electron microscope, I would be measuring in micrometers right now. Scanning electron, not a transmission electron microscope. So a few things. So do you remember what did I start this all out with? Anybody remember? Chris, I that's why I made that face. Because Chris goes. Yep. That's right. Focusing on him. Exactly. So keeping your focus on Jesus, right? Live in your Bible. Pray in tongues. I would challenge you to pray in tongues at least 15 minutes a day, straight, if you can. So I've been challenging myself on that, and so I do. I've been doing that every day when I go to work. I have a 45-minute commute, so I take at least 15 minutes, and you know what? Sometimes it goes over. I get into it. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but you know what I mean. Yeah, so I encourage you. Pray in tongues. Come to church. Get involved. See souls. Attached to everything you do, especially in the church, but everything you do. My kids laugh at me because when we drive through our neighborhood, I'm always like, "Hey, Al, hey, Stan, hey, Robert." They're like, "You know everybody." I was like, "Well, I don't actually know everybody, but I know a few people because I go out walking them and I stop and talk to them. Do I preach to them every time? No. Sometimes I just listen. We just talk. Just talk about the grass, you know, how good their grass looks and how terrible mine is." It's not that bad. But, right, you don't have to preach to all of them, but I always look for opportunities where I can sow a little seed. Because what did we say? It's not, who brings the increase? God, right? If I just plant the seed, I don't have to worry about it. I'm not responsible for the seed's growth. That takes a lot of pressure off me. I used to think, you know, as a younger or as an earlier Christian, when I was first, that like I had to get people saved. You know, yes, we should get people saved, absolutely, but I felt like I had to do it. I had to, you know, I had to work and I had to do it. But now the pressure's off to me. When I got that revelation, it was like, I just do it. I just throw the seed out there. You know, I look for the opportunities. If I have the opportunity to pray with someone to get saved, yeah, I'm going to do it. But sometimes they're not ready. But that's not my problem. The Lord brings the increase. I just have to throw that seed out there. And you know what? If it takes root, someone else can have the harvest. I don't care. Jesus has the harvest. Get a vision for your life. It's so, I mean, we talk about this all the time. Get your vision. Write it down. I know some of you are retired, but that doesn't mean you lose your vision. There's stuff for you to do, and we need you, okay? It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, right? We have a part. We are the body. The scripture doesn't say that once you reach a certain age, you're no longer part of the body. Does it? No, it doesn't. So that means we got work to do, right? So, yeah, there's no excuse. And then, again, that takes the pressure off. When you're working toward a goal and you have a vision for your life, watch who your friends are. I said that before. Guard your heart, right? Guard your heart. Wash your mind with the Word of God. Watch out for worldliness creeping in there. Worldliness is all around us, everywhere, right? I mean, you can just flip on the TV and a commercial comes on. I'm like, seriously? There was some commercial on that we were watching. Oh, gosh, what game were we watching? It was something... No, it was the college. It was the Michigan game. I was watching the Michigan football game. And at the end of the game, some commercial came up, and I guess there's a new cartoon movie something coming out, and it's called Little Demon. Did you hear about this? And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is terrible. But I'm just saying, it's all around us. But that means we're not powerless. And this is something that I teach the youth, and I've been really, really trying to tell them that we have the power to overcome it. Yes. You're not defenseless. And even the children, even in youth, and in, yeah, the world is, yeah, that's gross darkness. But you know what? We have the power, and the light is so much brighter. So you're not defenseless. You're not defenseless. And just because it's the end times, you know, don't let that be an excuse that we can't do it. Let your light shine. That was my next thing I wrote down. Don't get weary in well-doing and keep standing. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 and Ephesians 6:13. Watch your confession. This is something I told the kids the other night too. Can anyone tell me who the number one person in your life that you listen to the most? Anybody? Anybody? Caitlin, you know the answer. Yourself, that's right. You talk to yourself more than anybody else. You probably even talk to yourself more than Jesus talks to you. Everybody, we do, all the time. So therefore, watch what you're saying about yourself. Watch your confession. And in fact, change your confession to start saying what God says about you. Start talking to yourself and saying what God says you are. I am more than a conqueror, right? I am courageous. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I do not have the spirit of fear. Start saying these things to yourself rather than, oh, I blew it again. I'm such an idiot, right? People say that sometimes, and I'm just like, don't say that. You're not an idiot. Did you make a mistake? Probably. I made 100 of them. I made a couple today. Maybe more. Right? But when I make a mistake, I try to fix it, and I go to Jesus. Or I go to Jesus, and I try to fix it. I mean, you know. I make sure both of those happen. And finally, what was the last thing Peter did? What did he do when he was sinking? He called. Yeah, called for help. Call for help. Okay? Call for Jesus. Hello, Jesus. Help. Kids nowadays, right? Cell phone. It's like that. But also call your leaders. Call your leaders in the church. Call someone that you know will help you and pull you out.